From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Carol Bousquet with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, May 28, 2025. Planned Parenthood of Northern New England says it would lose millions in Medicaid reimbursement under the reconciliation bill passed last week by U.S. House Republicans. The organization says the cuts are an attempt to shutter its clinics, which would have devastating consequences for patients. Patty White reports.
The bill would block health providers who offer abortions from participating in Medicaid. Planned Parenthood of Northern New England CEO Nicole Clegg says that would amount to a $3.5 million loss in annual reimbursements. And that's on top of $1.7 million in federal Title X funds President Trump is withholding.
I don't know what we'll do. I mean, when you look at the combination of the impact of losing Title X and then losing reimbursements for Medicaid services, that's almost half of our patient revenue. Like, cut our budget in half. That's what we're talking about.
Clegg says Planned Parenthood would also be affected by cuts in cost-sharing reductions for private insurance plans that cover abortions. In Maine, state law requires marketplace plans to cover the service. Planned Parenthood serves more than 7,000 Maine patients a year. Roughly a third are enrolled in MaineCare, the state version of Medicaid. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
The University of Maine system says the Trump administration has either terminated or paused more than $45 million in federal awards. Maddie Smith has more.
As of today, more than 40 previously allocated federal awards, mostly for the flagship campus in Orono, have been paused or terminated, according to university spokesperson Samantha Warren. Those awards total almost $25 million. An additional $20 million in awards that were being negotiated have also been terminated or put on hold. Warren says roughly $6 million has been restored, including the Maine Sea Grant. System officials say they are exploring avenues to appeal and restore funding where possible. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Maddie Smith.
A Congolese man at the center of a deportation fight has been transferred back to the Cumberland County Jail, according to jail booking records in the American Civil Liberties Union. Court documents indicate federal authorities had recently moved Adi Umbila to Massachusetts and scheduled him for, quote, imminent deportation, days after he filed a separate petition saying ICE was detaining him unlawfully. Umbila has been in ICE custody at Cumberland County Jail since September after completing a sentence for two misdemeanor convictions. While the ACLU confirmed that Umbila was at the jail as of Wednesday morning, a spokesperson for the group said ICE could still move him at any time. The Maine House has given initial approval to two bills that expand testing for forever chemicals known as PFAS. Kevin Miller has more.
State law already requires landlords in Maine to test for arsenic in well water every 5 years. A bill that received initial approval Wednesday in the House would add PFAS to that list. Another provision of the bill would require home sellers to disclose whether their private wells have been tested for the forever chemicals, which have been linked to cancer, kidney disease, and other health problems. Representative Lori Osher, the Orono Democrat who sponsored the bill, said it does not require landlords to treat contaminated water.
How the issue is handled is up to the landlord and the tenant and what works for them. But tenants should know what they are drinking. Clean water is a basic human right. Where you live should not determine if you have clean drinking water.
But Republican Mark Blyer of Buxton said the $300 PFAS test is just one more added cost from regulators and municipalities that landlords ultimately pass along to tenants.
They're all just dripping faucets. Pretty soon the sink is full. If your party wants affordable housing, stop raising the rent. That's what it boils down to.
The House also voted to support a separate bill that would require the state to help low-income households pay to test their well water for PFAS. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
The Maine House has rejected two Republican bills inspired by unsubstantiated concerns that non-citizens are voting illegally in the state. One bill would have required Maine driver's licenses and non-driver ID cards to display whether the holder is a citizen of the United States. A second bill proposed amending Maine's constitution to specify that only U.S. citizens can vote in state, county, or local elections. But Democrats, like Representative Laura Supica, say it's already illegal for non-citizens to vote in Maine and called any suggestions otherwise, quote, a myth.
It is not rooted in fact, it is not supported by evidence, and it does not reflect the reality of how our election system functions. Let us not spend our time chasing ghosts or entertaining conspiracy theories that seek to erode public trust in our democratic institutions.
Both bills failed in largely party-line votes. For about 45,000 Mainers, mobile home parks have provided an attainable path to home ownership. But most don't actually own the land beneath them. They rent it. And as more and more mobile home parks are being put up for sale, some to large investment companies, a growing number of residents fear they may be forced out by rent increases. The situation has prompted a call for new laws designed to help mobile home park residents more easily buy their own communities. Nicola Grisco reports.
Don Bollier's home in Friendly Village Mobile Home Park in Gorham is a popular spot with friends and neighbors. Once they get past her terrier mix, Bella.
Come in. It's Phoenix, you silly girl.
Bollier reassures Bella that it's okay and reaches down to loosen her harness.
Come here, Bella. Let me take this off. Bella, come here. Nobody else is coming in.
Bollier lives in a double wide on a corner lot in the park. It's the perfect size for her and Bella. She says the mortgage on top of the monthly lot rent of just more than $600 is a lot given her single income, but she makes it work. She worries about many of her neighbors in this community of more than 300 lots. There are young families, and some are older and on fixed incomes.
People are here because they can't afford, you know, to go buy a house with land and that sort of thing. And this is an affordable living option for them. And we're very worried that that affordable living is going to be taken away.
In March, Bollier and her neighbors received a notice in the mail. A Wyoming-based investment firm had offered to buy their park, along with seven others in New York, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island, for a total of $87.5 million. In the last year and a half, more than 30 mobile home parks in Maine have gone on the market. Residents at nine communities have formed cooperatives and tried to purchase their parks. Only three have been successful.
Our concern is if these large out-of-state corporations and equity firms that come into Maine and buy these parks and jack up the rents, make those units unaffordable for folks who are there now and also future generations, then we will have lost something important to Maine people.
Greg Payne is the housing policy advisor for Governor Janet Mills, who says preserving mobile home parks is a top priority for the administration. He says mobile home residents typically rent the lots beneath their homes, and moving a mobile home costs several thousand dollars. So Payne says when lot rents go up, they're often stuck.
That is exactly what these equity firms are playing with. They know that people can't move. They know that they just have to take it.
I've got a couple more rent increases left before I can't be here.
Marika Guyason lives at Baybridge Estates in Brunswick, a mobile home park with nearly 500 lots that was purchased by an Arizona company about 4 years ago. Since then, Guyason says the lot rent has gone up by more than 40% to about $600 a month. Guyason says one of her older neighbors, who relies on a monthly supplemental security income of less than $1,000, was recently served an eviction notice.
Where are these people going to go? I'm not currently one of these people, but that's on the horizon if things keep going the way they are.
The Mills administration is backing several pieces of legislation designed to support mobile home residents who want to buy their parks or prevent large equity firms from buying them in the first place. One would give Maine mobile home resident cooperatives that match or exceed the sale price a right of first refusal, even if they can't come up with a cash offer like their corporate competitors. Similar provisions are on the books in Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island. But Teresa DeFossis of State Manufactured Homes told lawmakers this spring that the right of first refusal proposal would give residents an unfair advantage over other potential buyers.
The resident should have equal standing with any other interested purchaser, not special treatment that usurps our rights.
Don Bollier of Friendly Village doesn't see it as special treatment. She says residents deserve more tools to successfully compete with large equity firms.
Why are we not giving the residents of the state of Maine every opportunity to control their own fate? Why are we keeping a law on the books that almost gives the advantage to these out-of-state monopolies and conglomerates that are coming in and making these purchases and buying up land in Maine?
On Tuesday, the Friendly Village residents submitted their own bid to purchase the park for more than the asking price of $22 million. They're waiting for a response from the owners. The right of first refusal bill and other measures await further votes in the legislature. Meantime, another mobile home park has gone up for sale. An anonymous buyer is offering $3 million to buy the Spruce Ridge community in Winslow. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicole Ogrisco.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join Irwin Gratz for Morning Edition starting at 5 a.m. I'm Carol Bousquet. Thanks for listening.